All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you live from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the all-new X Zone Broadcast Network. If you'd like to give us a call, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-610-7035. My email address, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, on MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com, and our new website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. Plus, now you can listen to the X Zone 7/24/365, whether you're at work, at home, in the garage, wherever, www.xzonetv.com. My guest this hour is a good friend of the X Zone. Richard P. Jackson is his name, and he is truly an expert on all things of spirit. Now, to better understand Richard, is to experience a cross-section of gift, knowledge, experience, and success that sets him apart from the overwhelming number of so-called psychics, paranormal investigators, or as I call them, paranormal woo-woos, spiritual experts, healers, and the like. The evolution of his special and unique gift is the story of doors opening through dynamic spiritual interplay and opportunities that occurred in tandem, bringing in the true nature of spirituality that many others only profess to have but don't have. Joining me now is Richard P. Jackson. And Richard, welcome back to the X-Zone, old friend, long time no talk.
Good to hear your voice, Rob. Literally comforting is the best word.
Oh, thanks, Richard. I know you're still very busy out there helping people who are being plagued by negativity, demons, the black spirits. And people may be saying, what the heck is he talking about? That's all stuff that's made of, you know, from Hollywood. But no, it's real. And Richard, you know that better than anyone else I've ever talked to.
You know, even if you went just with the psychological factor, pretending it wasn't mm-hmm. real, the psychological damage of evil and, you know, as if it wasn't real, and spirits that act out in different ways would be tremendous in itself. And, you know, it has its effect. It diverts people. And as much as it can bring things to the table, I'm finding people, it was funny because I was anticipating you saying something. I mentioned it's probably like 10% of my work now, if that. Because I have to be careful and really selective. And if I need it, hopefully I can advise people or go out and make a difference. But one of the things I've noticed is that people, myself included, we like things that make us feel better. People gamble, they're willing to lose money because that little bit of excitement gives us endorphins. There's the runner's high. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something we get similar from meditation, from prayer. We get it sometimes when we watch an exciting adventure movie or even a scary movie. What I see happening is, in this field of spirituality and spirits, that's become an entertainment and a diversion and a hobby. And, you know, it has its place, but the expression, it's over the top, it's over the top.
These are very dark times in our world's history. We have a lot of negativity going on, Richard, not only financially, but also when it comes to world peace and world security. How does this play out on you? How do you dispel these vibes that you must be acting like a cosmic sponge and they just must be filling you up? How do you get rid of it?
Sometimes I don't. I've actually had a very bad month. I told people, and people who seem to have a knowledge of spiritual reality, they understand it in their world as much as I do. I'm not going to be able to do something to help somebody if there's an authentic case, even if it's not about negative spirits, even if it's about putting everything in my body and everything in my soul, if I'm doing a healing technique on someone. It's going to cost me something, and it should. Or what's it worth? You know, you just can't go through motions of it. So sometimes, especially, because I believe with all my heart, it's beyond belief, I know that we're listened to and we do get help from other places. It's almost like we're just acting out what's happening behind the scenes spiritually. But sometimes people only get the help, somebody who's assisting people, and they're trying to rid them of a problem. They're only going to get the authentic help if they're willing to take a loss or get hurt.
Richard, stand by. Richard, stand by
you
and I have to take our first commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Richard P. Jackson, www.richardpjackson.com. My name's Rob McConnell, and you're listening to us right here in the X-Zone. Richard P. Jackson is our special guest, www.richardpjackson.com. That's www.richardpjackson.com. Rich, you are one of the most well-known exorcists that I have come across over my many years doing this show. What do you say to people who really don't know who you are, the number of people that you've helped, the number of hearts that you've touched, the number of homes you've cleansed, when they say, evil, it's all a matter of mind over matter. It doesn't exist.
I wish that was true. I really do. I wish that was true. But it's not. The same thing that brings us evil, so to speak, brings us good. And the spiritual universe, so to speak, is not just something that is our psychological ploy of explaining things, although that also exists. It's a very real world, like viruses, like radiation, like quasars. They are absolutely profound and are real in our world, even though we can't necessarily open a drawer and put them in our hand. But lately, that has become a lot more common, by the way, where things really are manifesting. There's something on your show, if you don't mind, Rob, that I want to mention.
Sure.
Because it was called to me, it was about psychic spirit photographs.
Right.
Did you know as early as the 90s, I used to work with Ed and Lorraine Warren that began my career actually in the 80s.
I remember
and
that.
Ed turned to me, and most people know them, they're the quintessential Ghostbusters. Ed passed about 8 years ago, dear friend. And he turned to me and said, I know a couple other people who've gotten the pictures you do. You're really something. Always get me a copy, because he noticed I was getting these orbs and figures. And some of them went into a couple of his books. It was that uncommon that parapsychologists at the time weren't really sure spirit photographs were a real thing. Off it goes in the collective consciousness. People started murmuring it happens. It started becoming more acceptable and talked about in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You had more sensitive cameras and people being able to take limitless photos. there are tens of thousands of psychic photographs now just on the internet. Because when we ask for something, we help manifest it. So that's true with psychic photographs. It's also true with our obsession with evil and with hauntings. We are making an energy into something that already exists profoundly stronger.
So we're creating our own evil, or we're amplifying it.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't always have to be evil to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody doesn't have to punch us for us to accidentally fall down and still break a bone. Spirits who are simply needy, who don't know where they are, they might be addicts who overdosed, or people who are, they feel their mission isn't done, or they're not sure where they are, can be so physically and emotionally draining, and often don't really leave any imprint, except people might move into a house and notice, gee, we've been fighting, my husband wakes up at 3 and 5 o'clock every morning, I'm drained, the dog seems to bark all the time at nothing, and there's nothing else obvious, but their lives are now different. Doesn't always have to be profound to hurt us. In fact, sometimes it's almost better if we know, hey, there's something here, we need to get help. Because a lot of times it goes unnoticed and the toll it takes on physical and psychological health is enormous.
Rich, where does evil come from?
In our Bible, and I'm referring to Judeo-Christian, but it's the Muslims say the same thing, so do the Buddhists, so do the Hindus, that in order for us to make choices, there's other beings in the world, some good, some bad, and they have their own power. And if we seek one, we have to take what that brings to the table, so to speak. You know, were there angels who turned away from God? Maybe. To me, it seems something like that must have happened.
Yeah.
Because it's been so evidential to me that I've had both the curse and blessing of this thing called second sight. Forget the photos. I will see inky darkness sometimes that can't be explained. I mean, a room where there's utterly, you cannot see through it. And you begin saying some prayers, and all of a sudden, wow, it's just a regular dark room now, but you can see things. It comes with the territory, I guess, of a causal universe. I guess it comes with a free will universe, so to speak. But they're real entities. And just like animals, it's okay to have a pet dog. It's not okay to have a pet wolf. You know, it's okay to have a chameleon, but you don't want a 17-foot crocodile. They're all loving creatures in God's world, but some are not safe for us to be near. Spirit world's the same thing.
What do you do? What can a person do? Like, I know you've helped many of our listeners, then, and I want to thank you on air for that, because ExoNation, you may not know this, but Richard has offered his services to the X-Zone, and there have been times when we've called Rich up, and there have been times where it's been after a show at 2 o'clock Eastern, sent him an email, and he's always been there to help people out. And some of the people, in some of the cases, because of the privacy then confidentiality that we've guaranteed our listeners, I can't share them with you in detail, but I can tell you that just listening to the fear in the voices of the listeners scared the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And yet there was Richard. Richard went above and beyond. And Richard, I don't think I've ever thanked you on air. But, you know, thank you for doing that. In fact, the one that I remember was the guy in the trailer. I don't know if you remember this one. And that was one of the strangest cases. And yet there was Richard right there helping him out. And how many people go through their lives with the evil aspect who don't go for help because they don't want to admit that, number one, they need help, number two, that there is evil?
I would say of cases where people call me and say, I know someone, or my cousin, or my best friend, about half people won't go because somebody in their family simply won't have it. They're in denial, and they just will not break that code. My husband will not allow it. But what could I do when he's not home? To which I say, if you give your husband that kind of power, maybe you're doing that to the spirit world. You know, there's a reason that sometimes this stuff happens. It's a way for us to learn and unlearn. And sometimes, like all lessons, me included, things come, you know, both at a price, and it takes a while to kind of get it. But I would say half the people who contact me, but that's who contact me, I would say probably 90% of situations that are spiritual go either unnoticed, unchecked, or untalked about.
Wow.
Easily.
What about the belief that if you're being chased by a spirit, that if you run into a church, the spirit will not enter the church? Oh, an evil spirit. Is this true? Does the Word of God and the holy sacraments of various religious philosophies hold that much power against evil?
I would say it sure as heck is a good idea, but it's nothing I would take. Like if it was a wetsuit, I wouldn't take it down 100 feet. It's not a guarantee. There's nothing that's supposed to be an absolute cardinal insulation. But truly, the prayer and the asking for help is, of course, the main way that I hope to keep myself and other people safe. Absolutely. So if it has to be a yes or no, absolutely yes would be the answer.
Richard P. Jackson is my special guest. His website is www.richardpjackson.com. Richard, what was it like the very first time that you met evil dead on?
When I became aware of it, it was about 25 years ago when I moved into a farmhouse, and it was a instant, constant, like I was in a movie called Amityville, only it was where my daughter and I lived. Only then did I realize, you know, when I started dealing with it because I had to, and I started realizing and being told I was, in fact, a psychic and a medium. And I started working with Ed and then Bishop McKenna and a few others of various religions and beliefs, all very good people and very good teachers, that I realized the evil's been around me all my life. It's been around everybody all their lives. It's just a matter of how much or how little it touches us, how much we know it touches us and how much we don't know it touches us. You know, obviously, you have something like, you know, you take something that this is the big thing of the decade, 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Was that possibly spiritual? And I don't mean after. Before, was this possibly caused by spirits who were grabbed people and because of their beliefs and their hatred, acted out? I wouldn't want to swear that I know it happened or not, but I'm sure it was in the mix.
So
that kind of unfettered evil, you know, doesn't go unnoticed. There's an expression I've used. In fact, I used it with some law enforcement people who happened to be at the Cheshire Correctional here, and we had a chuckle over it. It wasn't so funny. It was the idea of a serial killer. Is it caused by spirits? And I said, no, and, you know, probably not. But by the time somebody's already committing those kinds of crimes, after a while, yeah, they're going to get joined in. It's going to be in the mix.
And we've heard so many stories about serial killers and people who are just really rotten people, where they actually hear voices in their heads. And is the voice that they hear part of a mental disorder, or is it actually evil who is at the throttle of their body and at the throttle of their mind and heart?
I think that in a way that even if the voice is imagined or due to an illness, then the person now has an inherent flaw, and they have a weakness. They're emotionally down. When I've been down and gone on a case, it's always been the wrong thing. I mean, I've learned my lesson on that one, too, by the way. I'd rather tell people, look, I got to make it next week if I haven't been in a good state of mind.
Yeah.
So just because somebody is emotionally really out of balance, it's almost all the more reason that even if the voices they hear aren't necessarily coming from a spirit, they're the people who are more likely to be attacked and used or manipulated by the spirit world. They're more open.
Richard.
Hi, this is Eric Rawls of Cosmoverse.com, and you're listening to Rob McConnell in the X-Zone.
Hi, this is Blade Runner, and you are listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Hi, I'm Laura Sabrin of Cease to Fields Organic Vineyard in Jordan, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Hi, my name is Lady Ashley, the White Witch of Niagara-on-the-Lake, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal talk radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Jackson is my special guest, www.richardpjackson.com, and this man knows more about evil because he is one of the leading exorcists. He is a guy who actually goes out and researches the negative side of life. Why? Because that's how he can help you. His website again is www.richardpjackson.com. Rich, what was it like for your very first exorcism?
The very first time that I had asked anything to leave in God's name was at a table about 2 or 3 weeks after I had called the Warrens. I had been to their school and working with them every day because I was scared, and here were people who knew what their stuff was. Mm-hmm. So along came Ed and some of the students and Lorraine, and he instructed me in God's name to tell whatever spirit that everyone was very aware in this house was simply there. People had seen this blackish form hulking around, and I kind of screamed for it to get out in God's name. As soon as I did, windows slammed, ashtrays broke upstairs, tables rattled. It was right out of the movies, and I will never forget Ed looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and said, "Gotta go, call me tomorrow if you're still here." And he said, "In all my years, I've never quite seen anyone get into it that quick and that emphatic." And it was, he meant it, but he also had that humor and that respect. That night, 4 or 5 investigators stayed there. We witnessed something that must be what people have called ectoplasm, which is something that probably doesn't exist in terms of that term. But we watched this like lava-like green light undulate in between cracks of doors and wood, probably as big as about 50 square feet, sometimes behind a wall, and you'd see the light coming through under a door. It was just like a lava light going around and through. And it put everyone in the house to sleep within about 20 seconds. I found out months later that it was probably the 13 or 14 people who had died of typhoid in a farmhouse there in 1740.
Holy cow.
And they were coming to us for help because there were, and this is a real, real strong and important statement, one of the most important I may have made ever on your show, which is, after a while, whether it be a day or 200 years, if there are spirits, they will attract other spirits who are stuck, who are not sure where they are, who are a little bit frightened. And given enough time, other spirits who are not good will come in to bully them and basically feed off their fear and energy, which is why people who play on the pet ghost thing, well, sometimes it's a spirit who just wants to stay. They play the piano, fine. But to actually precipitate, I've had people fight me because I've been in places and they didn't want their pet ghost taken away. And not only was that person, could have been my son, my nephew, a neighbor, me, but given enough time, evil will eventually come and use the psychic energy from those spirits. So, for both ourselves and for the sake of spirits who are stuck, human or animal, it's nice to at least try to help them ascend. That's the whole name of the game, ascend.
What is your take on all the television shows that are now flogging ghost hunters who use this shoddy night shot vision and who use psychics who are screaming and doors that open? Mind you, you never see the full door that is opening. You only see a certain part of it, and I'm sure that there's people up there using their hands or, as we've done during TV specials, nylon wire that you can't see. What's your take on them? I'll tell you mine first. I think they're stupid.
I think that there's something that they bring to the table about awareness that's good. I think it's phenomenally outweighed by the harm they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm right with you, Rob. I actually have stayed away from that on your show several times, because we're friends by now. We've been on a number of times. And I stayed away from that because I have had to be a little careful. I've had this, you know, Lyme and stuff that I've been kind of dealing health-wise. I'm not at my 100% for a few years. Mm-hmm. So was it jealousy that I only did a few documentaries? I don't really have the punch in me to get them done. And I was really careful with that for some years. I've looked at things now. At this point, I'm doing things with science, with corporate America. I don't have to worry about my, you know, my career, so to speak, my work. I would have to say now, without any jealousy involved, I don't know anybody save one or two people that I would even consider having over and checking the situation out. I don't think they mean harm. I think the media has steered it in such a way that what it is, it's a cheap way for people to get a quick fix with the spirit world, and I think a lot of people are going to get hurt real bad with this.
I was just going to ask you, is it dangerous with what they're doing? Are they going to harm themselves?
I'm going to sound a little bit like a soapbox, and I don't want to because I don't like people who do, even if they have a reason to. In a sense, we all have soapboxes. But I would say that start counting fingers more than one, two, or three digits. Just people who will probably be led to suicide and other kinds of activity just from overexposure to the spirit world, to magic, to spells, because it's very indiscriminate. It's kind of, it's been lumped, it's that neat stuff out there. And just a few people I know, families, I've definitely had some suicides in amongst families from kids playing with this stuff, and all of a sudden their lives took a turn.
How about Ouija boards? Are they as dangerous as people say they are, or is it just a toy gone bad?
Would I use one? Nope. I played with drugs, much to my dismay and my lesson earlier in life. I'm glad it was drugs and not a Ouija board. And I did some harm to myself that way. I'm sure there's a few people out there who use them and probably don't get hurt. Mm-hmm. But it's like driving drunk. I wouldn't do it. And it's almost pseudo-comical the way so many cases start out. Oh, my God, the name you're getting is the name of the spirit of a Ouija board I used in college 10 years ago. I don't know how many times I've heard that out of people's mouths. It ain't good.
How do the spirits?
It's an open invite.
But how do the spirits on the other side, good or bad, know where there's a porthole that they can slip into this realm of our dimensional reality?
They often wait for people who are susceptible, who are talking about it. Remember how a seance happens or how prayers are answered. We ask for things. You know, most of the spirit world doesn't have a lot to do with us, even if it's loving hands. They're doing their thing. But the ones closest to us are either going to be recent departed relatives or guides, guardians, animal friends, or there are going to be spirits who are awaiting an opportunity and who run along with people who are indiscriminate, who are really obsessed with a certain kind of power they can amass, who open doors and want them opened despite any possibility of danger, because they're taken by it, they're seduced. So the spirits that are most likely to hang around wanting that to happen very much are able to know those people, in the same way that people who have strange behavior patterns seem to find other people of like kind. You know, even on this earth, it's funny how that happens. People just, that's really a law of attraction. Like attracts like. You want it, you want something, and then there are those energies waiting to be wanted. So it's a match, and it's a match not made in heaven.
Richard P. Jackson is our special guest, www.richardpjackson.com. Richard, how about these groups, organizations, wackos who go door to door upon the request of some poor person who believes their house is haunted? Now, before people call ghost groups ghost hunters or ghost wackos, what should they do to make sure that, number one, there is a paranormal event happening? And should they first of all go to these ghost investigators, or should they go somewhere else first?
I'd say the first thing to do, whatever their beliefs are, is first to ask that if there's anything here that isn't of God's light, that it leave. Anything that's not wanted here, we're requesting to leave. And whatever a person believes in, as long as there's someone around who's a legitimate priest or minister, I would ask for a blessing. It's very easy. I mean, that would be the first place. You have somebody who at least took part of their life and said, I'm going to serve God in my way. You're at least starting with somebody who means well. And at least if you're going to start somewhere, I'd start there. After that, I don't really know who there's a few people that I would consider calling. Most of the people I have worked with are either retired, overseas, or deceased. And I'm sure there's people, but I don't know many.
What should someone look for if they really believe that they need the help of a paranormal researcher or a ghost hunter or a ghost group organization? What should they look for?
Credibility, references, and bona fide people, both through referentials, through either education or ministerial, and also why they're doing it. You know, why are people doing this? What's their reason? And many people, and I know what it's like. When I first started, it was very seductive. I couldn't wait to go on my next case. Now, I really don't want to get a call, but if I get a call, I'll try to be helpful, because it's something I still must do. But I mentioned this to you before, what it's given me and what it gives to other people in their way is it's brought other things to the table. I'm able to work with people with coaching. People are able to work in their own lives better because they realize there's a causal link to the spirit world. Sometimes they don't have to ask for it to be there. Maybe their job in moving into a house was simply to ask that God's blessings come into it, because the next person simply won't have a problem, and they may be more vulnerable than the people who are in fact experiencing something. We're all here to help each other a little bit, and that's what we should do. So it's really helped me do things, believe it or not, from weight loss to pain management to visualizing to what prayer is all about. It's helped me across the board, because it made me understand there are spiritual laws, and they do exist, and we have to be aware of them. They simply are teaching tools. There's always exceptions, but there really are laws, just like gravity. There's laws in the spirit world.
Where is hell?
I'm sorry, Rob.
Where is hell? We hear about the devil and all the negativity that...
It's right in front of your nose, just like heaven. It's a matter of frequency or vibration. Somebody could turn into the X Zone, or they could listen to jazz on another channel, or some horrible agenda of some crazy, nutcase, or some gangster rap or blues or jazz. It's a matter of what we tune into or what tunes us in. It's not a matter of where it is. It's a matter, really, of what it is, which is why people should do their best to always think in terms of maintaining as high a frequency as one can. Think good thoughts if possible. If not, sprinkle it with humor. Be appreciative, gratitude. It all makes the frequency a whole lot higher, so we're a whole lot closer to heavenly beings than hellish beings.
Richard P. Jackson is my guest, and Richard, you and I have to take our final commercial break for this hour. Thanks very much for being with us. It's always great talking to you, buddy. His website is www.richardpjackson.com. That's www.richardpjackson.com. Now, Exonation, if you believe that you're having a paranormal problem and you need help in being pointed in the right direction, send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. That's xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. We'll do our best to help you. The worst thing that I would like to see happen to you is that you get a bunch of woo-woos into your house, to your business, wherever you believe this event is happening, and they just make it all that worse for you, and they just simply go home come the end of the night, leaving you with a bigger problem than you had when they arrived. Once again, my email address is xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, and we guarantee you 100% confidentiality. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break with Richard P. Jackson as we continue right here live and around the world in the X Zone. Whatever you do, don't go away. We'll be back after this news break.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
Richard P. Jackson is my special guest this hour, www.richardpjackson.com. He's an expert on all aspects of spirit, and he's also a very popular and very well-known and respected exorcist. Once again, if you'd like more information on Richard P. Jackson, or maybe you'd like to contact him, his website is www.richardpjackson.com. How can people protect themselves from evil and negativity that they might be subjected to at home or in the workplace or even at church?
I would say the best thing to do for people always is, if one has a loving heart, mm-hmm. and if one is otherwise looking for good, you usually get it. Just send some nice thoughts to people you love. If you're not struggling with life, because God knows how many people are, and some people in this world by the billions are really hard-pressed, is to put out just some thank yous. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be a preamble. It's just a trusting that we're all part of something, you know, much greater than ourselves. Just thanks for what I have. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, whoever's listening. Thanks for whatever guidance I have. It's that vibration. It's that making things less apt to come your way. I also tell people, be careful about what you bring in your house, because sometimes we get things from elsewhere. And whether we make the Star of the David, the sign of the cross, visualize, just ask God's light to wash it, dip it in salt water, do all those things make a difference? Yeah, they do. They do. We want everything clean, just like in a hospital. We don't want dirty hands. we want cleanliness spiritually in our lives in every way that we can. That it occurs to one, that'll help, because that's really what it's all about. And to be a good neighbor is probably the biggie.
Hallelujah. Listen, Rich, we've got about a minute left. What would you like to tell the Exxon Nation?
I would like to suggest, especially for people who are developing psychically, the more things that are around, you know, there's both a good and a bad. The whole idea, and it has to do, I mentioned to you, workshops, which I'm going to start kind of doing a little bit more spread out, not just in the Northeast and Bermuda. I'm going to start moving a little towards the Midwest. The whole idea is when I do workshops on developing psychically, that's half of the title. The other half is safely. It's, we don't want to open doors we can't close. There's no magical little way of gaining some power that if it doesn't belong to something really good and right, it's coming from another place. It's just about being careful. You know, it's the old adage, careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
And the other is to kind of do no harm. Sometimes for the sake of getting a picture or experiencing something, the most well-intentioned person just invited something in their life.
Rich, you and I have to say so long for now, Rich. Please, don't be a stranger. We'll have you back on in the near future. So until then, my friend, take care of yourself and be safe. www.richardpjackson.com. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.